I'm Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, and I invite you, gentle listener, to join us for the best analysis of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the business. BGN Radio provides you with the most informative preview shows, and the Kist and Solak show dives deep into all the scheme and X and O details you could ever want. Plus discussions with the industry's brightest minds, including former NFL players, and press conferences from the Eagles coaching staff to keep you up to date and informed every step of the way. Subscribe to Bleeding Green Nation today. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Playing a long drive, there it is, number 500, the career 500th home run for Michael Jack Smith.
Rollins slides, Rollins has won it, they stream out of the dugout, yeah. Rollins by yeah. Near third, this game is over.
It is out of here, 50th home run of the year for Ryan Howard.
Ruiz out to get it. The throw from his knees. It's in time. And it's a no-hitter. Unbelievable. Ruiz and Helen.
Oh, Chase is going to keep going. And he's safe at home plate.
Wow.
Chase Utley, you are the man.
Swing and a miss. Struck him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
Now batting for the Phillies, second baseman John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome to a special edition of Hittin' Season. I am, of course, John Stolness from The Good Fight and NumberFire.com. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up here, we're going to do something new, try a couple different things out. Now that we're all part of The Good Fight podcast feed and we're getting some different voices here on the podcast, I wanted to try something new here just to give you guys a little bit more content. I don't know that we're going to do this before every series, but because this series against the Nationals this week is such a big series, I thought this might be a good time for a series preview podcast. We've never done one of these before where we do a podcast specifically looking at a three-game series coming up this week, and I want to draw your attention to thegoodfight.com. Smarty Jones is our series preview guy. If you want something that you can read on your phone as you're walking around, make sure to check out the preview that Smarty did, because it's really, really good. He always does a very an entertaining job with it. They're fantastic, well written, lots of good information in there. So make sure you go to thegoodfight.com and check that out. But thought if you're on the road, maybe you're driving home from work, getting ready to catch the first of this three-game series against the Nationals, and it is a big series, you might like a podcast for the trip home. And so this is just going to be a quick 10 or 15 minutes, but hopefully it'll give you what you need to get you ready for this big series against the Nationals. And so this is going to be our Hittin' Season Washington Nationals preview episode. And the Phillies come into this series at 68-56. Of course, we know they finished off a tough trip against the against the New York Mets, losing 3 out of 5. For some reason, I thought road trip because the last game was in Williamsport. But of course, they split the first 4 games in Philadelphia, and then the Phillies lost on Sunday Night Baseball in a really frustrating game to the New York Mets. Again, the Phillies now 12 games over 500. They just have not been able to get themselves going here in the second half. Fortunately for Philadelphia and for Atlanta, quite frankly, the Nationals haven't either. They are 62-63 on the season, 1 game under 500. And I know we kind of joked about it in episode number 205 of the podcast that this is the biggest series of the season. And obviously, we've said that about a number of series. Benchmark series have come and gone so far this year. And in September, the Phillies are going to basically be playing huge series every single series. There's not going to be a series that's not enormous from this point out, because the Phillies trail the Braves by just 1 game in the National League East. But as far as the Nationals are concerned, this is their season. This series coming up here against the Phillies is their season. If they make up some ground against the Phils here, they are back in the hunt. They're back in the mix of the wild card hunt, at least, if not the National League East. It would all depend on what the Braves do this week. They're playing a series in Pittsburgh against the Pirates, and they won the opener on Monday night, 1-0. If the Phillies have a chance here to bury the Nationals, to officially kill the Nationals. That's what's lying in front of the Phillies this week in the nation's capital. They lead the Nats by 6.5 games, both in the wild card and in the National League East. Actually, the Phillies are no longer in the lead for the first wild card. They're frankly tied with 3 other teams for second in the wild card as this series begins. But they lead the Nats by 6.5 games. And if the Nationals sweep the Phils, they close that gap to 3.5 games. If the Phillies sweep, all of a sudden it's 9.5. Frankly, even if the Phillies just win 2 out of 3, it's a 7.5 game lead between the Phils and Nats. And given how much time is left in this season, we're talking just over a month and a week, basically 5 weeks left in the season, 5.5 weeks left in the season. The Nationals are flat out running out of time. And it's funny when you look at the schedules, how much of a difference there is between the records. When you look at the run differential, the Nationals probably should have a better record than the Phils. The Nationals have a plus 59 run differential compared to plus 8 for the Phillies. But the Nats are just 3-7 in their last 10 games and lost 2 out of 3 to the lowly Marlins last week, and including a 12-1 loss on Sunday where Gio Gonzalez absolutely crapped the bed. There's just no other way to put it. The last time these two teams met was in late June and early July for a 4-game series at Citizens Bank Park. The Nationals ended up winning the run differential in that 4-game series after beating the Phillies 17-7 in the second game, but the Phillies ended up taking 3 out of 4 in that series. The last of those games, a 13-inning game in which Nick Pivetta and Andrew Knapp were the big heroes. I think when you look at this Nationals team, if you don't see the 2012 Phillies in these guys, I don't know what you're watching. This looks like the season after the run was over. It's really scary how similar these two teams are. I mean, back in 2012, the Phillies had injuries to Chase Utley at the beginning of the season. Remember the knee problems that he was having? And you had key injuries, of course, to Roy Halladay that season. The Nationals have had key injuries that really hurt them in the early part of the season. Daniel Murphy is just now finally back to being the real Daniel Murphy, but they missed him for the first half of the season, and even when he came back at first, he was not the same player. Steven Strasburg, who will pitch in this series, has been on the disabled list for the last month. Adam Eaton was hurt for the first couple of months of the season. They've had a slumping star in Bryce Harper for much of the season. In the second half, Harper has turned it back on like we knew he would. An OPS of 1,086 with 7 dingers in the second half, hitting .350 since the All-Star break. He hit .214 in the first half. And the big problem right now for the Nats is their bullpen. And partially, it's self-inflicted. I mean, they traded Brandon Kinsler for what Mike Rizzo said was to save money, but I think the problem was, and based on all the reports you hear, is that they felt that Kinsler was telling family secrets to Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, that he was talking about how terrible the clubhouse is. And frankly, you just can't you can't do that. But I mean, Passan and Kinsler have both denied that vehemently, that Kinsler was the guy doing that. So if Rizzo traded Kinsler thinking that he was a rat, that he was telling secrets outside the organization to a reporter, and that ended up not being the case, then they basically just threw away a reliever that they desperately need right now. Then there was Sean Kelly, who appeared to show up as manager in the ninth inning of a game that the Nats led by more than 20 runs a couple of weeks ago. And that was apparently too much for Rizzo. And so he was dealt to the Oakland A's. And now both those pitchers are pitching great with their new teams. Meanwhile, Ryan Madsen is on the disabled list, and he gave up that crushing grand slam to the Cubs last week when, on Sunday Night Baseball, you'll remember the Nats are up 3-0, and David Bote hit a walk-off grand slam to give the Cubs a 4-3 win. Madsen was placed on the disabled list a couple days later. Kelvin Herrera is also on the disabled list. And Sean Doolittle is expected back soon, but he's on the disabled list. So the Nats really don't have anybody in the back of the bullpen. So they better hope their starters give them some distance here in this series against the Phillies, because this truly is a bullpen that the Phillies can do damage against. So in the first game, starting tonight, it will be Vince Velasquez taking on Tanner Roark. Velasquez has not been sharp in his last couple of appearances. If you're judging this game based on how these guys have done lately, the Nationals would seem to have the edge, because in his last start, Velasquez allowed 4 hits and 4 walks, lasted just 2 1/3 innings. He also had a terrible start against the Diamondbacks the outing before that. At least it looked like Velasquez's velocity returned in the last game. There was a little bit of concern about a potential injury, but now it appears as though he is just maybe in a dead arm period. As I have mentioned in previous podcasts, this team has pitchers that are surpassing innings limits from the last couple of seasons, and Velasquez is one of those guys, so you just got to hope he's able to battle through this, looking to get back to the guy who had a 0.71 ERA and 22 strikeouts during a span of five starts in July and August. A number of Nationals hitters hit Velasquez well, so keep an eye on Harper, who has a 5.56 average against him this season. Daniel Murphy hitting .400 against him this year. Ryan Zimmerman, a .444 average against Vince Velasquez so far this year. As for Tanner Roark, he has struggled for most of the season, but has, at the best time of the year for the Nationals, gotten hot. In his last five starts, has a 1.77 ERA and 28 strikeouts over that stretch, but the Phillies have hit him well this year. And if you're looking at who might get the start at catcher for the Phillies, I think Jorge Alfaro may get that start. He's hitting .714 against him in seven at-bats this year. Wilson Ramos is hitless in three at-bats against him this season. Again, that's all small sample size. Asdrubal Carrera is hitting .333 against him in 15 at-bats this season. Michael Franco, in his career, has hit him well, .286 in 28 at-bats. Odubel Herrera, .417 and 36 career at-bats, and Rhys Hoskins also hitting .364 against him in 11 at-bats. Justin Bour, I think you'll see him get the start at first base tonight. He has three home runs off him in his career. In Game 2, you'll have Zach Eflin against Steven Strasburg. Eflin, 9-4 on the season with a 3.70 ERA and a 1.8 Fangraphs wins above replacement in 17 starts this year. In his last three starts, has a 3.92 ERA in 20 and two-thirds innings, 19-4 strikeout to walk ratio. So Eflin's been fine. Not dynamic, but they don't need him to be dynamic. He's made just one start against the Nationals in his career, so not really much of a sample size to go off of. Strasburg, however, has a long career history against the Phillies, but you kind of have to throw some of that out the window because of the special circumstances. This is his first start since coming off the disabled list. He hasn't pitched in a game since July 20th. He missed a month with a pinched nerve in his neck. The only pitching he's gotten under his belt is a 70-pitch simulated game last week. No rehab starts, so you have to wonder if he's going to be on a pitch count. As delicate as they have been with Strasburg in his career, how important this series is to the Nationals, you wonder how much he's going to be limited, or if they're just going to say, you know what, screw it. Screw it. We need him. And if he'll go as long as possible. Justin Bour and Asdrubal Cabrera could each see some action against him. They've each homered off of Strasburg this year. Franco has a .300 average in 20 career at-bats with a dinger against Strasburg, but the rest of the Phillies lineup has struggled against Steven in their careers. Game 3, Aaron Nola versus Max Scherzer. This is a 1 o'clock start, and this is going to obviously be probably the marquee pitching matchup of the week in Major League Baseball. This could also go, I don't know if it's going to go a long way in deciding who wins the National League Cy Young Award, but it'll certainly help the narrative if Aaron Nola can outpitch Max Scherzer in this game. Might even go a longer way to seeing who can be the MVP. If Max Scherzer is able to pitch the Nationals and finish off the sweep against Aaron Nola, he might see Max Scherzer get even more MVP recognition. Or it could go the other way. If Aaron Nola outpitches Scherzer and the Phillies sweep the Mets, Nats or take 2 out of 3, maybe you see Nola move up the rankings a little bit. But whatever you're looking at, Scherzer has outpitched Nola this year, and that's no slouch to Nola, who I think has been the third best pitcher in the National League after Jacob deGrom and Scherzer. Nola does lead Max in Baseball Reference wins above replacement, 8.2 to 7.8. He also bests him in home runs per 9. However, Scherzer leads Nola in Fangraphs wins above replacement, 5.9 to 5.0. Also in ERA, FIP, strikeout percentage, batting average against, and WHIP, and just about every other category, Scherzer has just barely outpaced Aaron Nola, in some cases by a wider margin. But these two will be going at it. And again, this is going to be probably the best pitching matchup in Major League Baseball this week. Nola is 2-0 with a 1.98 ERA in 13 and two-thirds innings this season against the Nationals. So he has had a lot of luck against his division rivals. However, there are some guys in the Nats lineup that have good career numbers against Nola. Bryce Harper batting .391 against him with two career homers in 23 at-bats. Daniel Murphy hitting .346 in his career against Nola. And Wilmer Defoe with a .333 career average against Nola. As far as the Phillies against Max Scherzer, there is only one Philly who has had any success against Max in his career, and that is Odubel Herrera, who is in the midst of one of the worst slumps of his career. Of course, there's been a lot of conversation about Roman Quinn getting more playing time over Herrera, but Herrera has hit .333 in 36 career at-bats against Max. So if Odubel is in the lineup on Thursday afternoon, you know why. It's because the numbers tell Gabe Kapler that he should be in there. Luckily for the Phillies, they've managed to avoid Scherzer for the most part this season. Scherzer's only made one start against the Phillies, but it was a good one. He pitched into the seventh inning, 6 1/3 innings, and gave up just one run on 5 hits against the Phillies. That was the game in which the Phillies came back against the Nats' bullpen, and then Tommy Hunter blew it late in the game. This is much earlier on, before the Nats' full-on collapse actually happened. So this is the big matchup this week, one of the big matchups in Major League Baseball. There are some others as well, but really the Phillies can put the nail in the coffin. They can seal the coffin shut on the Washington Nationals this week, even by winning 2 out of 3. But the Nationals, you know, are going to pull out all the stops this week. This is their series. This series means more to the Nationals, frankly, than it probably does to the Phillies. Their season is on the line against the Phillies, and they're at home. I would frankly be surprised if the Nationals did not win 2 out of 3 in this series. But the Phillies also, if they want to stay within shouting distance of the Braves, they need these wins too. Every game from here on out is a huge game, but this is the landmark series for the Washington Nationals. And it all gets underway here on Tuesday night at 7:05 at Nationals Park. That'll do it for this preview episode of Hittin' Season. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And please, folks, make sure you subscribe to the Good Fight podcast feed, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Leave a review. Give us a 5-star rating if you like the show. Please do that. That helps us on those iTunes charts, and it helps other Phillies fans find the podcast as well. And like we have said before, make sure to check out our partners at SB Nation, the other Phillies website podcast, Bleeding Green Nation. I'll be hosting an Eagles preview show for BGN Radio coming up in the next couple of days as well with Brandon Lee Gouton, and also check out Broad Street Hockey's podcast feed and Liberty Ballers podcast feed as well. So thanks everybody for tuning in. I'll talk to y'all later in the week on episode 206 of Hittin' Season.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.